Welcome to Wonderland, the podcast where I go down the rabbit hole to research things you may be curious about. My name is Ami, and I'll be your guide on this trip to Wonderland.
Hi there, my Wonderlings. As we prepare for our Halloween episode this year, I'm releasing one episode a day for 13 days. The first 12 episodes are short ghost stories for you to enjoy, and the 13th episode will be the Halloween episode, in which we'll go down a rabbit hole that will make you wonder what things go bump in the night.
I wonder.
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 So far, we've experienced 11 spine-tingling tales together, and today, I present to you one more before we learn about the history of ghost stories. I hope you enjoy this short original story by Ami Bland. If you're not too scared. The Moonshiner. Springmoor was a quiet little town nestled in a valley between two tall peaks. It wasn't easy to get there, and the town didn't boast so much as a single traffic light or post office. None of the roads were paved, and visitors never stumbled by. It was a shame, perhaps, that it was so difficult to get to Springmoor because the town's landscape was breathtaking. The townspeople took pride in their little slice of heaven, and they produced nearly everything they needed to sustain their town. The people there worked the land and had abundant harvests. They learned from an early age how to hunt only what they needed for meat and hide. They raised cattle and goats for milk, chicken for eggs, sheep for wool. And their town lay alongside a quiet spring, in which flowed the purest and most refreshing water. The townsfolk claimed that their children were so hardy, their animals so sturdy, and their harvests were so plentiful because of the spring, which had waters blessed by God himself. One of the guilty pleasures the townsfolk enjoyed due to the spring was moonshine, made by a grizzly old man who lived further up the mountain. The townspeople didn't really know anything about the old man, not even his name. They just referred to him simply as the Moonshiner. The Moonshiner came to town a few times a year to trade his moonshine for meats, clothing, and other wares. His face was that of someone who had a hard life. Deep lines in his skin hinted at his old age, and a gnarly scar that ran across his chin and down his neck disappeared into his shirt collar. His gray, wiry hair was long and tangled, tucked under an old ball cap. And his clothes, though clean, were worn. He never smiled, and when he spoke gruffly and declined to engage in pleasantries. Once his transactions were completed, his wares tucked neatly in the wagon that he had brought the moonshine down in, he turned and trekked back up the mountain. No one knew exactly where he lived up there. The young people found the moonshiner to be a scary man and avoided eye contact with them when he came to town. They whispered to one another the different things that they had heard of the old man. Some said that he eats children who wander to his cabin. Others said that the old man had killed his wife and children, and the scar was from them trying to fight him off, and that their ghost haunted the mountains because of their tragic deaths. Still, others claimed that the scar was where the devil had torn his body open to stuff a demon inside of him. All of the stories were enough to keep the children from venturing out to find the old man's place in the mountains. Well, nearly all the children. Joseph was not afraid of anything, much less the old man who peddled alcohol in town a few times a year. One night, Joseph and his friends were out in a field sipping on some of the moonshine that one of them had slipped from their parents' cabinet when the topic of the moonshiner came up. The teens commented that the moonshine was so good because of the old man's deal with the devil. Joseph, tired of the ghost stories about the old man, rebutted that he was nothing more than an old man who happened to make a good shine. That was when the group of friends dared Joseph to go up and find the old man's home if he was so sure that the moonshiner wasn't evil. And to prove that he did it, he was to bring back the ball cap the old man always wore when he came to town. Joseph, his own courage mixed with some of the effects of moonshine, laughed and accepted the challenge, grabbed a flashlight, and started up the mountain. The sounds of his friends laughing in the field faded as he got further away, and Joseph was struck by how quiet the mountain was. He heard the crunch of the forest beneath his feet and the occasional rustle of a small critter, but not much else. He wasn't sure where the old man lived, but since he pulled a wagon loaded down with moonshine to town, Joseph wagered that it was probably not too far off of the path he was on. Otherwise, that would be too difficult for such an old man to get his liquor to town. The path ran alongside the spring, which the old man needed also, so he stayed on the path, his flashlight lighting his way. He had been walking for nearly an hour when he realized he didn't even hear the sounds of animals in the forest. He only heard the crunch of his own footsteps and the sound of his breathing. He felt a little uneasy and his heart quickened, just a touch. In the distance, he saw a faint glow and thought it must be coming from the moonshiner's house. As he grew nearer, Joseph realized he was right, and there was a small cabin with the light coming from inside. He saw a still behind the house next to the spring, and he knew he had found where the old man lived. He sneaked up to the porch, the old wooden stairs creaking under his weight, and peered inside a window. The house was mostly one large room, and the old man was asleep in a chair in front of the fire. Joseph's eyes scanned the room until they landed on the moonshiner's hat, placed upon a hook on a wall by the back door. Joseph quietly sneaked to the back of the house so that he could retrieve the hat, but as he neared the still, he could swear he heard crying. He stopped in his tracks and stood very still, listening. Yes, he was certain he heard a faint moan. If he believed in those sorts of things, he'd even describe it as ghostly. But he didn't believe in ghosts and decided logically that an animal must be injured near the still. He turned and tiptoed quietly towards the still to investigate, and as he drew closer, the air around him grew colder and felt so heavy on his skin. He was beginning to feel uneasy and thought about turning back when he heard the sound again and pressed forward. He was almost to the still when he was overcome by the foulest stench. Was it the smell of the pulp the moonshiner used to make his liquor? No. It smelled like rot, like death. Joseph was trying hard not to gag on the smell when through his watering eyes, he noticed something on the ground that made his heart stop. He froze and stared at the ground around him. There were at least a dozen human skeletons in various states of decay. He started to scream in terror, but no sound escaped. He turned to run and crashed into the moonshiner. Except now, the moonshiner wasn't old. He wasn't frail. He appeared to be a young man, and he was strong. He grabbed Joseph by the neck and stared into his eyes menacingly, and he said,
"You shouldn't have come here."
The last thing Joseph saw before he passed out was a flicker of red fire in the moonshiner's eyes, and he knew the stories were true. When he regained consciousness, Joseph wasn't sure where he was. It was wet and dark and hot. So very hot. He realized he was sitting in liquid and reached his hands out and felt metal? His stomach sank as he realized the smell of decay was replaced now by the smell of corn, and he knew exactly where he was. He cried out, his voice echoing against the copper walls of the still. The air around him grew thicker. The water he was sitting in was unbearably hot. He heard the whispers of those who were before him encircling him, and he banged on the walls, begging to be let out until his hands were bloody. But eventually, he could fight no more, and Joseph accepted his fate and let out one last breath, his spirit mixing with the spirits in the still.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.